guys.
Bless you, Brother Ronnie. We're thankful to have you with us.
Amen.
Always good to have our preacher brothers visiting with us. Anyone else? Well, I want to ask your prayers as I try here for just a little while to share a thought with you that the Lord has placed upon my heart. I want to read, to begin with, just a short lesson found in the fourth chapter of Daniel. Daniel chapter 4, beginning with verse 34. I want to read a statement in these verses that I want to read that was made, a statement that was made about God that I believe is very true. In Daniel chapter 4, in the 34th verse, this was after the Lord had caused Nebuchadnezzar to go out for a while and to become like an animal and live like an animal. It says, "And at the end of these days, I, Nebuchadnezzar, lifted up mine eyes unto heaven, and mine understanding returned unto me, and I blessed the Most High, and I praised and honored him that liveth forever, whose dominion is an everlasting dominion, and his kingdom is from generation to generation. And all the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing, and he doeth according to his will in the army of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth, and none can stay his hand or say unto him, What doest thou? At the same time my reason returned unto me, and for the glory of my kingdom mine honor and brightness returned unto me, and my counselors and my lords sought unto me, and I was established in my kingdom, and excellent majesty was added unto me. Now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and extol and honor the King of heaven, all whose works are truth and his ways judgment, and those that walk in pride he is able to abase." And I will stop my reading there with that 7th verse. I want you to think about with me for just a little while here what Nebuchadnezzar said there in the 35th verse that I read before you. He said, in reference to God, he said, all the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing. Now, Isaiah spoke about God sitting on the circle of the earth and the inhabitants of the earth being as grasshoppers. And here we're told all the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing. And he, that is God, doeth according to his will in the army of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth. And none can stay his hand or say unto him, what doest thou? And also in the 9th chapter of Romans, in the 14th verse, it says, what shall we say then? Is there unrighteousness with God? And I want you to think about that, because that question is going to be my title today. Is there unrighteousness with God? Paul goes on and he answers that. He says, God forbid. For he saith to Moses, I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. So then it is not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth, but of God that showeth mercy. There are people, I believe, in the world today that do believe that there is unrighteousness with God, but they're wrong. There's not. There is no unrighteousness with God. I believe that in our lives, from time to time, and there are many examples of this in the scriptures, and honestly, I probably won't use many of them here today, but there are times that we are made to see, and I believe that God shows us and proves to us that he's just God. He's God. No matter what, when all is said and done, God is God. Sometimes the human family, I believe, are guilty sometimes of presupposing God and perhaps presupposing what God will do or won't do or what God can do or can't do. But listen, again, when it all comes right down to it, God is God. And he has not made himself a prisoner to anything or to anyone. He's God. He's the creator of heaven and earth. He's the creator of all things in the earth. And not only is he the creator, but he is also the owner. The 50th Psalm makes it plain to us that the cattle on 1,000 hills belong to the Lord. He said, every beast of the forest is mine. The psalmist tells us that the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. In the 24th Psalm, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein, for he hath established it upon the floods. God is the owner of the world and all the inhabitants of the world. And God can do with them, with the things that God has created, he can do according to his will. And what we are told here in the fourth chapter of Daniel is that there are those times and there are those situations that when God determines to do something, that there is nobody that can stop him. When he determines to do something, he exceeds all other powers and all other entities. God exceeds all other forces. And there is none that can stay his hand. That's what this verse said about him, that he doeth according to his will in the army of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth, and none can stay his hand or say unto him, what doest thou? There are things that you and I, even though God has given to us the ability, and even though he allows us to choose things, yet there are things where you and I have absolutely no control and we have absolutely no choice. You know, God brought me into this world. He is my creator. He is the giver of life. The Apostle Paul said in his sermon at Mars Hill that it is in him that we live and that we move and that we have our being. He giveth to all life and breath and all things. And, you know, God did not come to me and ask me if I wanted to be born into the world. He just brought me into the world. And when it comes time to leave the world, it's going to be the same way. I believe that Job spoke about that, what we find recorded in the 14th chapter of Job in verse 15, where Job said, thou shalt call, and I will answer thee. And whenever that God gets ready for me to leave the world, I will be powerless to do anything about that. Now, I don't have to worry about it anyway because it's well with my soul. I don't have to worry about that because God saved me by his grace. And when I leave this world, I'm going home to be with God and spend an eternity in his heaven, and everything will be well. So I don't have to worry about that. But I assure you that when that call comes, when God determines for each one of us, whenever that it might be, that when God determines for each of us that it's time to go, we're going to go. We're going to answer that call. Solomon put it this way, and we find it in Ecclesiastes chapter 8, verse 8. He said, there is no man that hath power over the Spirit to retain the Spirit, neither hath he power in the day of death, and there is no discharge in that war. I've heard people say, I remember years ago, my wife and I, we knew a lady up in Indianapolis. She was a member of one of our sister churches up there in Indianapolis, and she was a dear friend to us. And she died suddenly, and she died in the hospital. She was in the hospital being treated for something, and she died in the hospital. And the doctors that were taking care of her, she died from a blood clot. And the doctors that were taking care of her, one of those doctors said, if there would have been a team of the most gifted physicians in all the world around her, we just don't believe we could have stopped this from happening. Well, I agree with that. You know, when God chooses that it's time, when God sends that call, when God chooses to take us from the world, when it really becomes his will, and God says it's time to go, we're going to do exactly what Job said we would do, aren't we? We're going to answer that call. We don't know what age we'll be. We don't know what kind of physical shape we'll be in. We don't know where we'll be. But we do know that we will answer God's call. There are ways that things that God does that we're just powerless. He's God. God can do what he wants to do. He can do it when he wants to do it. He can do it in the way that he wants to do it. And, I resigned myself to this fact years ago that God can do with me as he will. God brought me into the world as he chose. God can take me from the world as he chooses. God can do that at any time, under any circumstances. You know, if I'm in a time of life when I seem to be perhaps in one of the happiest times of my life, if that's when God wants to take me, he can take me. That's up to him. And God can do things where he leaves the human family really without right to be able to say, well, God shouldn't have done that. You know, there are times when people blame God for things, aren't there? There are times when something happens to a person, or something happens to their family, or something happens. There are circumstances that take place where people oftentimes even blame God for something that has happened. But there is no unrighteousness with God. He can choose to bring a person into the world exactly the way that he wants to. And the question is asked in the scriptures, can the clay say to the potter, why have you made me thus? Why have you made me the way that you have? And God is not unrighteous. And Paul was right when he said, God forbid, there is no unrighteousness with him. There are things that God has done, and there are things that God continues to do, where we do see that there are things that are at times affected by human intervention. But it's only because God will allow it. We find in the 38th chapter of the book of Isaiah that God sent Isaiah the prophet unto one of the kings of Judah by the name of Hezekiah. And he told Hezekiah, he said, set your house in order because you're going to die and you're not going to live. That was what God sent the prophet to tell him. You're going to die, Hezekiah. I'm going to take your life. You're not going to live. Hezekiah was sick, and God sent Isaiah unto Hezekiah to make sure that he knew that this sickness that he had was unto death, that he was going to die. And we find that Hezekiah turned to the Lord, and he began to pray. He began to pray to God, and the Bible tells us that God sent Isaiah the prophet to him again. He said, you go and tell Hezekiah that I have heard his prayer and that I will add to his life 15 years. And he did. He did. We find in the 12th chapter of 2 Samuel that after that David had committed the hideous sins that he committed, that God sent Nathan the prophet unto him to tell him that God certainly knew about all the things that David had been guilty of. And Nathan the prophet told David, because of what he had done, that the child that was about to be born because of his adulterous relationship with Bathsheba was going to die. And the Bible tells us that David fasted. He laid down on the dirt all night long. In fact, he laid there for days, and he prayed unto God, and God took the life of that child. David laid in the dirt and prayed and fasted that God would spare that child, that God would allow that child to live, and God took the life of his child. Well, did he wrong David? No. That life was God's in the first place, wasn't it? Everybody's life. Listen, I want you to know something. If you're here today and you're lost sinner, that life is not yours. It belongs to God. God is the giver of life. God is the owner of your life. God gives to you every breath that you breathe. He gives to you every heartbeat that you experience. Every moment that we live is in the hands of God. He controls that. He owns that, and He can stop that at any time, under any circumstances, and He will not be doing any of us any kind of injustice whatsoever. We're His. We're His creation. And so, but there was something that David said in that. You know, after the child died and he saw his men kind of whispering to each other, he perceived what had happened. He perceived that the child was dead. He got up. He cleaned himself up. He washed himself up. And they were confused. And they said, you know, while this child was sick, you were praying and you were fasting and you were doing all these things. And now the child is dead, and you just get up and you just stop doing all that. You stop praying and you clean yourself up. And David said, well, you know, while the child was alive, he said, who can tell? Who can tell whether or not the Lord will be gracious to me? And that's a big question, isn't it? Who really can tell? You know, we can pray about things, and you know, sometimes perhaps we pray about things and maybe we don't see that come to fruition. Maybe we don't see it come to pass. Maybe we don't see our prayers answered the way that we believe that they would be answered. And oftentimes in that, I'm afraid that people turn their back and they turn against God and they begin to blame God for things. But listen, you know, oftentimes God is just doing things according to His will. I believe this, and I know that there's more to what Paul said there in the 9th chapter of Romans, but I believe that Brother Wheat and I, we could be diagnosed with the same disease. We could be diagnosed with the same illness. We could both be diagnosed with the same type of cancer. We could both be diagnosed as being terminal. And we could both begin to pray. And if God wanted to heal Brother Wheat and He wanted to take me home, that's up to God, isn't it? That's up to the Lord. It's up to Him. I'm trying to get you to understand today, lost friend, that your life is in the hands of God. Every minute that you breathe, every minute that you live, God is giving that to you. We find, I believe Job understood that. When we read there in the first chapter of Job about how that Job began to lose all of his possessions and that even his children lost their life. And when Job heard that, even when his wife wanted him to just curse God and die, when Job received all this bad news, even the news concerning the loss of his children, he just said, the Lord gave. The Lord gave. And the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Now that doesn't stop things from being hard for us, does it? It's hard for us to lose people in our lives. Sometimes even it seems like sometimes even when we've tried to prepare as much as we can, it's still very difficult. for us to be parted. It's very difficult for us to lose people. But God has appointed the bounds of our habitation, and we can't pass beyond it. He doeth, God. He doeth according to his will in the army of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth, and none can stay his hand. None can say unto him, what doest thou? Is there unrighteousness with God? No, not a bit. But listen, I'm thankful that God has given us some of the promises that he has. I'm thankful that God has given to us in his word the promises that he has concerning the salvation of souls. I'm thankful that God made a way for everybody to be saved. I'm thankful that God is no respecter of persons in that way. I'm thankful that he made a plan of salvation. Now, I want you to know this. If you're here today and you're lost, no matter how young you are, how old you are, if you realize that you're lost, I want you to know that God made a way for everybody to be saved. And he won't refuse anybody that comes to him. Because we know this about God's will concerning the lost. We know that it's not his will for any to perish, but for all to come to repentance. We know that he will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth, that he made a way for people to be saved. All people, it's a whosoever will plan, that God made a plan of salvation through the Lord Jesus Christ, where he promised that he will save anybody that comes to him on the terms and conditions of the gospel. Anybody and everybody. I'm thankful that God didn't turn me away. Aren't you glad that when you came to God seeking him, that he had made a whosoever will plan of salvation? That there was nothing, that you know, you had to have within yourself, that there was nothing that you had to do within yourself, that you didn't have to be of a certain race, that you didn't have to be of a certain culture, that you didn't have to be of a certain financial standing, that you didn't have to have a lot of money. I'm thankful for God's free gift that's offered to everybody. And let me tell you something today, and I'm just going to be quite honest with you. I don't mean this in any disrespectful way at all. I'm just going to tell you honestly today, if you're here today and you know that you're lost and separated from God, you know that you need to be saved, and you're refusing the Lord and you're pushing him away, you're doing one of the most foolish things that anybody's ever done in their life. I mean, that's the fool of all fools, to reject the Lord, to push him away, when he's offering to you eternal life. God doesn't have to give it to you. I want you to know something. If you are lost, if you've been bowing at the altar and praying, if you've been trying to seek the Lord for salvation, I want you to understand this, that God never promised in his word anywhere that he would extend to you years and years and opportunity after opportunity. I believe that he'll give opportunity to all. But he never promised to any of you that he'll just continue to give you opportunity after opportunity after opportunity. He never promised that. Your life is in his hands, just like my life is in his hands. Lost friend, your life is in his hands, just like the life of his own children are in his hands. He can call you out of the world just as quick as he can call me out of the world. God can call a lost person into the dust of death just as quick as he can a person that's ready to go. You need to know that. Every moment is a gift. It's a gift from God. And you better use it wisely. I know this has probably been very scattered, but I was trying to share with you the things, the thoughts that the Lord had placed upon my heart. I'm persuaded. You may not be, I don't know. You may think that you've got some kind of handle on life, I don't know. But I'm persuaded that my life is in the hands of the Almighty God. I'm persuaded. I'm persuaded that every breath I breathe, he gives me that. I'm persuaded that when he's finished with me, he'll take it. He'll take it. No matter where I'm at, no matter what I'm doing, no matter what I think I still need to do, God's ready, he'll take me. He'll take me. Glad I don't need to worry about it. Thankful that I'm ready to go. I'd like for us to have a song. I'd like to take just a moment here and say to anybody that's lost, if you feel that need today to seek the Lord, we want to give you that opportunity while we stand and sing.
Number 245 in the Mulls.
God is so good. God is so good. God is so good. He's so good to me. He cares for me. He cares for me. He cares for me. He's so good to me. My soul, he saved my soul, he saved my soul, he's so good to me.